Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. I'm Melinda Lee. When you're leading a company and growth isn't moving as fast or as consistently as it should, then I'm so glad you're here because this series is just for you. Because most organizations don't have a strategy problem. They have a communication alignment problem. At Speak and Flow, we believe that communication isn't just a soft skill. It's also how your company grows. In this series, we're going to talk through what actually drives that growth, how your team aligns around direction, how execution actually happens, how leaders show up when it matters most, and how all of this scales across the organization. So your company just doesn't work harder or rely on you. It moves together. Let's get started. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. Today, we are on our second episode of the series. In our last one, we talked about how teams are working so hard and still miss their growth targets, and the importance of being crystal clear of what truly matters and communicating that constantly, clearly, over and over again. And yet, sometimes as a leader, even when you are doing that, you might find that people think that they know the priorities. It sounds like they're aligned, but then they go to do the work and then communication breaks down. Things are not getting accomplished. They're misaligned. And so that is a topic that we're going to talk about today, how we think that they're aligned, but they're not. And so joining me today is an expert. She is Eileen Wickstead. She is the principal of Wickstead and Company, which provides client with strategic communication, crisis communications for leaders who are experiencing high risk and low frequency events, which really impact both the market share and also their reputation. Joining me is Eileen. Let's welcome Eileen. Hi, Eileen.
Melinda, hi. It's so nice to see you, and it's great to be with you and your audience. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. This is the second time that you've been with the Speak and Flow podcast. I really value your experience and what you do. And so I'm so glad to dive in today about aligning our teams. And before we get into that, let's set the context. There is a busy leader out there, CEO, executive, who have stopped to listen to this podcast. If he or she or this person takes into consideration all the things that you're about to teach them around crisis communication, strategic communication, what do you hope could change in their life?
My hope is that leaders recognize that if they want to have a high-performing team, that high-performing team must have a high-performing communication culture. And so what I mean by that is you have to be able to be good, strong, effective communicators. You have to be clear, right? Brené Brown says clear is kind. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to be clear. And the challenge today is because everybody is moving at warp speed, we mm-hmm. tend to resolve or solve a business issue, then we communicate. And then people didn't understand fully, so now we communicate again, and then we have to communicate again and recalibrate, and we waste a lot of time, energy, and effort communicating when we don't put communication really at the center of what we're doing. And so most leaders are leading their teams through some sort of element of change or a high risk, low frequency event, like a plant closure, or let's say there's going to be, a significant rule change or the discontinuation of a product line. I'm thinking in insurance right now. And so those are significant. And so as you make the decision about what we're going to do, you spend time. I mean, you go through it. You say, okay, what's the business rationale? And why are we losing money? And what's our solution? And what do we need to do differently? And now you've come to this decision. Mm-hmm. At that moment in time, you then have to begin developing a communication plan to communicate that decision. And it really begins with understanding what are the four corners of what the problem was, right? Let's say slow sales, let's say lack of profitability, and then we're putting a solution in place. Let's say we are discontinuing that line. Then what does that mean? So we have to have an understanding of what is the problem, and then what is the solution? Because when you then communicate to your audience, you want them to be able to understand your thinking, right? Reason why, and then how they're moving forward, and what does that mean to them? And frequently, what happens is everybody's decided in the conference room, hey, listen, we're going to terminate this one line. That's going to impact X amount of policyholders. It's going to impact two team members. All right, now we're going to go communicate. And you need to pause and stop. And so my most significant message today to any leader who is tuning in is this: high-performing teams have a high-performing communication culture, cadence, and processes. You cannot have one without the other. You can make really great business decisions, but if you don't know how to communicate them, they will never get implemented. You will never have the growth. You will never have the change that you really need. And that's your job as a leader. And so sometimes, I find that leaders will make time to have a discussion with the legal team, right? The attorneys or HR or regulatory or compliance. You need to give communication the exact same seat at the table and the amount of time and attention to put that plan together. And then when you're prepared, then your communication is cascaded in a certain frequency. It's layered. You have not only written and verbal communication, you may end up having videos, you might have a town hall meeting, you might have a variety of different things, and you do it really well. So when people leave, they understand why the decision was made, what the solution requires of them, and what they need to do moving forward.
No, I really appreciate it. And this is why I had you come back the second time around, because I always learned so much. And I really appreciate the planning and acknowledging that these leaders, when they really do this well from the beginning, the ripple effect that it can have, and also the time saved, because the importance of preparation and planning and all the things that need to happen so that the communication is effective. And so I'm really excited to dive in, because I think that a lot of people don't take this opportunity to plan, and then they wonder, why are my teams not aligned? What is happening? And then so to give people context for the audience, you obviously know what you're talking about. Can you share with them more about your company a little bit more, and then also what excites you about what you're doing, so there's more context for the audience?
You bet. So I came into the PR, strategic communications, and crisis management role after a career in television news. So I worked in the media. I was a reporter and anchor and moved around the country doing that. And I think that really sets up and really it allowed me to hone my skills in a couple of different ways, because as a reporter or an anchor, you have to be able to quickly assess a situation. You have to be able to take the complex and make it simple. That's hard to do. And you have to be able to do two things: ask questions, right? And we ask questions a lot of times to build understanding, and then become a good listener. You have to become a really good listener. And I think that's really important as I started my company a couple of decades ago. And we are a team of 23 plus, and we are a strategic communications, crisis management, and communication training firm. And we work in key sectors, so energy, healthcare, agribusiness, technology, manufacturing, and then other high-profile others, right? So sadly, we've done school shootings, mass casualty. So we do a lot of that sort of work, but really the sectors that we really focus in on are the energy, healthcare, technology, technology, manufacturing, and agribusiness. And so we have deep expertise, and that's important to us. But what really excites me is this. People talk about communication as a soft skill. And I will work with them and they'll be like, yeah, I'm the youngest of I was the youngest of four, and I was the quiet one. And my brother Jimmy, he was the funny one. And now I'm a leader, and all those other sorts of things. And they think somehow that how they communicate, how they were born and just sort of their genetic makeup defines how they communicate. And what excites me is when I'm able to work with them to say, you know what, that may be your starting point, right? That may be you may be on the starting line right here, but how you were born, your ethnicity, how you grew up, your household, right? The dynamics, the environment. So like, I'm Italian and Irish, right? So there's a lot of yelling and a lot of fighting and a lot of fun that went on in our house and a lot of laughter. And so that helped shape and define me. But what excites me is when I'm able to work with people and I'm like, wait a second. Communication is not a soft skill. It can be hardwired. You can get better. I can help you get better. You can be a very compelling and effective communicator. And if in fact you are a leader, you must become an effective, compelling communicator if you want to continue to go on. And so that's what really excites me. I'll tell you a quick little story. I was working with a newly appointed executive, and she recently joined this global company, and it's a really great opportunity for her. And as we began working together, there's going to be some changes that she has to make, but she's really stepping in and stepping up into this role. And she's really quite introverted and really in some ways a little demure. And so as we were working together, I said, in today's world, people not only have to be a leader, they have to look and sound like a leader. And I had her go through a couple key exercises. And I said, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And I'm going to give you a quote, and it's like four sentence quote, and I'm going to have you record it. And I'm going to tell you how I want you to read it. I want you to do a cold reading, and then I want you to do a reading where half the room you think half the room is deaf. So I really want you to projection, okay? Then I want it to be like pleading, right? Emphasis on key words, okay? And then I want you, everywhere there's a comma, I want you to take a pause. Everywhere there's a pyramid, I want you to fully stop, right? So we worked on this, okay? And I said, how did you feel? And she said, well, I felt uncomfortable and I felt silly, and that's not usually how I feel, right? I don't feel good. It's not me, right? And I said, when you are a leader, it's not about you. It's about the people you lead. So let's take a look at this. And so I played it back. And when I played it back, I said, let's talk about these different ones. And the one where she was projecting, she goes, in my head, I thought I was shouting. She goes, but I wasn't. I appear more in charge. And then with pausing, I appear more reflective, right? And intentional. And so I guess what really excites me is helping people see that communication isn't a soft skill. It is a hard, it's a hard skill. It's not the music. It's like, if we were in school, people would say, oh, communication, it's like music and PE. No. Communication is like math and science, right? It is such an important discipline, especially if you're a leader and you are being held to results.
Well, and I think even more so now with AI, and because unfortunately, I mean, AI is going to take over a lot of those hard skills, the technical skills, and do it so much faster. Not in a way it takes over, but it supports us. It helps our job. It gets us to do things faster, but then communication, it cannot replace. Not so much, right? Especially when you're talking one to one and you're dealing with people face to face. And
Right.
so I think communication is that skill, that hard skill that people, it will continually evolve and it'll continue to give back to you as a leader and help you evolve. And so I really like that story that you shared because you held a mirror to this leader and to show her you were not screaming, you were actually projecting and sounding like a leader, even though you felt like it. And so I'm going to take it back to teams that think that they're aligned. So tell me, have you experienced where you've seen teams, they think they're aligned, the leader spoke the priorities, the goals, and they think they're all aligned, but then they go off and they're not. Like, can you describe moments where that happens?
Right. So what's really funny about that is that happens more frequently than not. And when that happens, there's politics, right? I mean, there's politics, there's coalition building, there's confusion. And so if the team is not aligned, how in the world do you expect the company, the rank and file, if you will, right, to become aligned? That's problematic. And I think it's really important that we're having this discussion in and acknowledge at the same time that we live in a low trust environment, right? Over the past 6 years, if you look at the Edelman Trust Barometer, you see that trust continues to decline. Trust in our institutions, trust in media, trust in NGOs, trust in government continues to decline. But one glimmer of hope in this research is that employees still trust their leaders, right? Not as much, but they have got higher trust in their leaders, all right? And so when I see a team that's not aligned, and I sit around the table and I'm like, I'm going to use a hospital. Why does nursing think this is going to happen? And why does respiratory therapy think this is going to happen? And it really comes down to teams are not aligned because the team members feel or believe that they don't have to be aligned. And here's what I mean. You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree. Tommy, Charlie, Sally, you don't have to agree. Okay. But you're a vice president at this health system. We have vetted this. We have researched this. We have now made a decision on this. So you once again have explained that you don't agree. I have heard you, and now we're going to put away our disagreements and we are going to become aligned and supportive of this. And I think what happens is people walk out and they'll say, okay, well, we're going to shift differentials are a big deal. That's the payments that you pay nurses depending upon when they work. And a lot of those things are now changing in healthcare. So something comes out about shift differentials, and then those leaders are like, yeah, I thought it was a bad idea. Well, I think it's not this, right? And they feel that they can align with their team and say, if it was for me, we would go this way. I raised my hand three times. Well, here's the problem. You shouldn't be on the executive team to be your behavior, right? You're on a team and your leader should give you enough time to vet, disagree, come back another day, new re additional research detail, disagree, vet, debate, all those sorts of things. Come back another day, decision is made. Once the decision is made, then we align and support around that decision. Now, here is the missing point. Here's the missing link to a lot of this. A lot of this, they'll be like, okay, but then we need a communication companion about what is the narrative around this? What are the four corners on what the problem was we were trying to solve? What is,
Got it.
why did we solve it? And what's the impact going to be,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
So
yeah.
with regard to shift differentials, currently the pay's all over the place and it's over budget, right? That's the problem. So
Yes.
now we're going to eliminate the shift differentials for
Yeah.
some nurses. That's going to mean that nurses will make less money. You got to own it. You got to own the ugly. Own that ugly. Okay. So how are we going to communicate that? We're going to communicate the fact that our budget is out of line. We compared it to the national standards. We're paying twice the market share. It's not sustainable. This happened during COVID. It's not sustainable. This is a course correction. And we recognize and acknowledge that for some of our nurses, this means they will have less money in their paychecks, right?
Right. But
And
the
then
thing
you
is,
move forward.
okay, yeah, but there's twofolds. Like I hear that the breakdown. First being that I think sometimes the leaders don't even give the opportunities for the senior leadership to acknowledge, to debate, to do research. You know, they just, like you said in the beginning, they just automatically assume we don't have to align. Maybe there is a
Right.
new shift differential and there's not enough communication. So I'm going to go on one side and I'm going to go on the other side. And then so like the first part of that is like the leadership can bring people together and really continue to debate until they all feel like they've been heard or they've been seeing both sides and then really come together to make an agreement. Like that's the first part that I think a lot of people don't may not get right. Maybe they do it, they think they've done it. Right?
Right.
Maybe it and
Right. And
then
the reality is that sometimes you're not going to reach agreement. But
No.
a really good leader will be like, okay, I've let the air out of the tires enough.
Yes.
People have been heard and they've discussed. But then the other thing too is if you're on that leadership team and you're like, wow, I don't, you know, they didn't agree with me and whatever. And you know what? You're not the highest person here on the food chain. So you didn't get the, it's not, you didn't get the authority to make the decision. So once the decision has been made, you got to fall in line. You got to
Yeah.
fall in
Yeah.
line
Or
and
there's
then be
also
supportive.
a decide, or there's also like, a, sorry, there's also like, hey, let's decide, or I'll let you know how we're going to make a decision at the end. I'm going to hear all of your voices and what, but I'm going to be the ultimate decision maker.
Right.
Right.
And because the president or CEO,
Yeah.
whatever the top one is, that's
Yeah.
ultimately their responsibility.
Yeah.
And so I always, but sometimes with teams, when that doesn't happen, then they go out and start coalition building, right? And hoping one
Yes.
comes back and here's
Right,
what is and all this other sort of stuff. And so
right.
I think a really interesting point about that is people will come back and they'll be like, ooh, people are really upset. I think they're going to go on social media. Yep. In our communication plan, we've already planned for that. Yep. We knew people would not like that. And then what I always like to ask people, and so when people came up and complained, what did you say? How were you able? And they're like, well, you know, I wasn't really for this decision anyway. If you're a leader in
Yeah.
this organization,
Yeah.
when you make a decision, you align around that
Yeah.
decision,
Yeah.
and then you carry the flag.
Yeah, correct. As a team and going following the communication plan. So that was the second part is how much do these teams have a communication plan and then carry out the communication plan effectively?
Right. And sometimes what we do on these really highly sensitive issues,
Yeah.
we will we'll test pilot, right? So here's the issue and here's the decision, here's the research that was done, and here's what's going to happen. And then sometimes you can test pilot that with a couple, you know, with a couple little focus groups, especially if you think it's a high risk decision. And then people can, you can look at that and then you can make a change before you roll it out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but would that if the little small group, would that message get out to other people? How do you contain that if you test it
Well,
out with the small group?
usually we brought you together, right? This is confidential. If you choose not to keep confidentiality, All right, that's going to be on
Right.
you. But we are thinking about, we have a preliminary plan too. Here's, right, so you put enough in there that this is not a fait accompli. So if it gets out, it's not that big of a deal. But sometimes it helps you. It helps you begin getting really close to have a key understanding. So for example, today, affordability is such a big issue, right? People are worried about energy prices, they're worried about food, they're worried about affordability, right? The cost of living has continued to increase. We have inflation, right? There's additional tariffs, there's the war, the conflict, everything else. And so when it comes to making decisions that you are going to change pay or no raises or do reductions, those are really great examples of when you can use a focus group to how is this going to play? That makes sense.
Yes, oh, completely. And then that and especially if you know it's going to be almost time to get the information out, you can do a little smaller group and then refine based on what the smaller group feedback is. And so can you share more about, because you mentioned, a lot of this communication is high pressure, there's not enough time to prepare. What else can someone do, a leader do, when they have to share a real high risk, sensitive information, but don't have that much time to prepare?
Right. So there's really two categories, if you will. One is if you're making a change, right, there's an issue and you've got to make a change with regard to a business decision, I don't know, layoffs or changing pay patterns. You have some time and you can put together a good plan. So that's the benefit of some time. When you have no time, let's say there's something that, let's say there was a workplace accident, or let's say there was just something that occurred where there was something against your company. So here's the important thing to do. Timeliness is important. So there's two things. One is timeliness. And so people are like, I can't say anything soon because I don't know what to say. Very first people I want you to communicate with is your internal. Right, we go internal and then external. So
Perfect.
you bring your leadership together, your team together, and your objective in really what I'm going to call phase one is acknowledge. We are aware of this situation. We understand that this has happened. We don't know the four corners, but what we do know is this is happening. We've sent somebody to get more information. We're in contact with XYZ. So really, it's acknowledge first. And you do that internally, and you tell them you will update them in 30 minutes or as new information. And here's where I want you to go for your information, whether it's Slack or whether you're on a Teams app or whether it's email or whatever it may end up being. Or we're going to update you. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to do a all Teams call, and you can dial in or whatever it is. And so the key part is when things happen rapidly, plant a flag that says, we know about this. And the reason why that's important is because then people will know who to come and ask questions to. So then you then own it, right? So that's the first. Then the second thing is you have to begin from a communication standpoint, asking yourself, and I use the PEAR model. So PEAR, PEAR, stands for, because this is occurring, what impact does it have on people? That's the P. What impact does it have on the environment? That's the E. What impact does it have on any of our assets? Right? So let's say we've got an issue at a, let's say it, we have an issue at a hot at a hospital. It's not the one we're at right now, it's a different hospital, right? So is that functioning? Are they still taking patients? What's happening there? Whatever, that kind of stuff. That's assets, right? And then R is reputation. Okay. So we quickly begin, and that's what I use. So here's what we know. What we know at this point in time is fill in the blank. We understand from a people first perspective, no one has been injured. And then you go from there, those sorts of things. That's what you end up doing. And then the key point is updating people on a regular cadence. And so, of course, you set things up of we're going to get new information, and then we're going to have people who are surveilling, right? Social media, monitoring, looking at a variety of other things so that we can see what's going on out there. Is there something else we need to see or know or do, right? And so that's what we end up doing. And then it ropes it right back in. But really, the goal and objective, especially when it is a high risk, low frequency event, and it's not yours, right? So it happened, and so you're on the defense. Have to A, take ownership, right, by acknowledging we know what's going on, because you want to shape the narrative. And with AI, they begin shaping the narrative by everything else that's on there with social media. So you have your voice out there.
I love this because, and it also just dawned on me. I mean, I knew this, but then we're giving them people how to react or how to be proactive when a high frequency, high risk, low frequency event happens. You're saying, okay, acknowledge the situation, bring the team together, acknowledge the situation, and then talk about when they can get and where they can get the updated information so people do not start making up their own narratives. We're controlling the narrative. And then talk about the PEAR. What is the impact to the PEAR? And but the thing is, that's why we want to ha have you and continue to foster and grow the skill set, like especially as a leader, because it's not if, it's like when these high risk, low frequency events happen. It's like there's no time for you to develop the skill, especially when it just happened, especially when you don't know when it's going to happen.
So what's
Right?
interesting
So.
in our business, there's a lot of different things that we do, of course, but I've noticed that in the last 18 months, our crisis planning and our crisis tabletop drill business has increased. And so people are like, listen, we need a crisis plan. They saw the Kiss Cam, right? And that was a problem. They saw the situation with Campbell's Soup, right? So there were these rapid response types of situations. People are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. What do I do? So people are like, we're not prepared.
We're
So
not prepared.
that sector of our business has increased. And the 120-page crisis plans that we did, back in the 2000s, then they went to 60 pages, then they went to 45. Now they're down to 15, right? And it begins framework. And more of what we see, we just did this last week, is then we do tabletops. We do tabletops with injects, and we say, okay, now this has happened. And then that leadership team has to debate and discuss, and they have to decide, what is the issue? Is this their issue? Do they own the issue? Is it the ownership? Do they own what part do they own of that issue, right? Because they just may be akin to the situation. So I was thinking about what happened at the correspondence dinner, right? And so let's think about if you're the hotel, okay? It happened on site, but you were not in control, but you're going to have to communicate to all your other guests. And so I would imagine very quickly they were like, wait a second, this wasn't our crisis. It's not like we, food poisoning or something. It wasn't like one of our employees, but all of a sudden we're going to be drawn into this. So begin figuring out what is the issue? What part of this issue do we own, right? That then dictates what we communicate. And so we'll have to get together very quickly, and we end up in our tabletop drills, because what happens is you will find some people, they want to own everything. They want to, okay, this is our problem. They take responsibility. Oh, and then they want to write a check. Oh, we're going to cover all expenses, all that sort of stuff. They want to cover everything. Then you've got other people say, not my problem. We're not even going to say a word about it. Say anything. We're just going to fly under the radar. And really, it's about making smart decisions so you get into this happy medium that is responsible and respectful and will protect your brand and your reputation. That's
And
critical.
then being aligned. Because, and then agreeing on that and doing this tabletop practice before, so that when the situation happens, your entire leadership team knows what to do, what to say, what to own, and how to communicate it
Right.
cohesively and in alignment. That's amazing. That's really good. I love that. And so this leads me to the last question. I'm learning so much, but this last question is, so when organizations, companies like this continue to think about communication, not just as a soft skill, they install systems for communication, communicating align with alignment. Like, what is possible for these companies that do that?
Those are the high performing companies because if you have a high performing leadership team, which by the way begins with their ability to communicate well, and that really gets down to what I'm going to call psychological safety, right? So in their communication, they're respectful, they appreciate, they're good listeners, right? They've trained themselves, right? Because you can have the smartest people around the table, but if they don't communicate, they don't listen, then you've got a bunch of independent, really smart people, and you're not going to get that momentum that you can get when everybody is really rowing the same way. And so when I've worked with teams, and it's been great fun, especially as new leadership teams come in, and we begin putting them through some training, and very quickly what they realize is, this is a skill that we can learn, and what I've learned before and what I'm going to learn now may be two different things, and now I'm just going to commit to getting better. And so that's one thing. And then the other aspect of these high performing teams is they have really great the ability to communicate. They have respect for one another. They can debate and disagree in a respectful way. And then they align. All of a sudden, they can change much more rapidly. They can shift their company quickly. And if you think about today's environment, that's a challenge because think about if you're in manufacturing. Okay, now you're having tariffs. Now you're not. Now this product, right? You have to pivot and shift very, very quickly. If you can't communicate that, right, and lead through this time where it's very fluid and you have to be able to, throttle up and throttle back, all those other sorts of things, it's much more difficult. And so high performing teams have first and foremost a really strong high performing communication culture, and they tend to be happier, they tend to be much clearer, they tend to make more money, and they tend to have higher percentage of employees that are retained, and their leadership teams stay together longer.
Oh God, that's so beautiful. And it's beauty, but beautiful because it's complex, but it's also simple in the way that you've talked about how to do this. It's just a matter of taking that time to have an intention around building this leadership team, on knowing how to communicate in such a way that, like you said, it makes them happier. They're able to resolve issues. They're able to move forward together. And then so also for the long term, what could this communication culture do for a company and its legacy?
Well, it will define its legacy, right? Because everybody is on the same page. They've got the same message. It cascades down throughout the organization. And that's how people then show up, right? Because they know what's expected of them. And that really then just defines their legacy. One thing I did want to mention is that getting high performing teams to have a high performing communication culture sometimes can be ugly, can be really challenging, because if you've got really high performers all in a room together, you're going to see people interrupt each other all the time. You're going to see different types of communication styles where some people are confrontational, and therefore somebody's intent and the impact may be two different things. So when I work with teams, Charlie may be maybe perceived as being very brash, and so other members of the team may feel like he's rude. And so we have to let Charlie know. And Charlie has to be, no, I care. I'm passionate. I love this work. And so once you begin understanding the motivation of Charlie, and Charlie realizes that the way he shows up and his intent may not match his impact, then you can calibrate. You can calibrate, but you want to create that culture where people can debate and speak their truth, and they can ask questions of one another, because at the end of the day, they want to make the very best business decision to advance their company forward, and they have to do that first. And then they've got to build the communication plan that supports that. And that really begins with them first.
I agree. I completely agree. And so I love that. And like creating that type of environment to have that trust so that people can work things out and work out the issues. And then therefore that's internal. And then so when they're ready to go out to communicate, they're more aligned in their messaging. Eileen, this is so fun and so wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I've learned a great deal. And so, if there's a leader out there that is dealing with a crisis issue, high risk, low frequency issue, or some type of change that they're going through in their company, and they need some support from you, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach us at our website, right, which is thinkwixted, WIXTED.com, or you can email me at ewixted, WIXTED, at thinkwixted, WIXTED.com. And or if somebody is just like, hey, you said something and I was curious, I love to chat with people, because one thing that what I really love about what we've been able to do together, and Melinda, you help foster this, is we grow together, right? We learn from one another. And what we've learned, and COVID really put a fine point on this, that in our industry, what we do really matters. It can make a really big difference. And so we have to continually improve what we do. We have to continue to learn, because it's going to make a very big difference in the lives of our employees and others that we serve. So I'm always up for a good conversation, happy to help, happy to talk to somebody if they're going through something that requires a communication plan or a sensitive situation or even a crisis. So ewixted.com.
Reach out to Eileen. We really appreciate you sharing your expertise, your wisdom today with us. I trust that the audience took away a lot, like I did.
I hope so too. I hope so
Thank you.
too.
And
Well, thank you.
thank you. Yes, and thank you, audience, for being here. I trust that you have your takeaway for today. And if you've enjoyed this, we talked about what it means to be very important, the strategic communication and the importance of aligning your teams. And now, for the next episode, we're going to talk more about how to hold each other accountable. Because just because you have direction, you have an alignment, sometimes it's still things go off, and we want to bring people back by holding each other accountable. That's going to be the next episode. But until then, remember, communicate what matters most consistently. So your people move together. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye, Eileen.
I'm Melinda.
Strong organizations just don't work harder. They move together with clarity and purpose. When your leaders align around vision and revenue, they communicate with credibility, they create an accountability system for execution and build a culture where this communication is consistent, something powerful happens. Momentum builds. Not because your leaders are trying harder, but because everyone understands how to move in the same direction. It's a beautiful thing, and that is what the Legacy Growth System is designed to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's purposeful. It's intentional. And if you're curious how your organization currently operates, I've created a reflective diagnostic tool. It will help you see so much more clearly. clearly of what is happening inside. It's called the Communication Dynamic Profile, and it reveals how your organization moves from vision to execution and how the alignment flows and where it may be breaking down. You can access it in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. Until next time, keep speaking with clarity, confidence, and flow.